As always, great to be with you all and looking forward to this time together. And as we embark on a time in which we're going to, again, walk in one of the many symbols we have in our Christian walk. And as we've often said, a symbol is only as good as the substance to which it represents. And this morning, I hope that as we spend time in the Word, that if nothing more, we'll understand a little bit more of the substance to which we're celebrating this morning, as Marianne has made the decision to take this step of obedience before the Lord in baptism. And we're going to spend a bit of time in God's Word. For those of you who like to follow along, I'm actually going to spend a bit of time in John chapter 14 this morning. And we're going to spend a little bit of time. Often the Lord, as he's challenging me in days and weeks throughout the week, it often starts with a question. And we'll start with a question this morning. And I'm going to first pause for a word of prayer and just remind ourselves of our need to hear from the Lord and the Lord alone this morning. And then we'll dive in. Lord, thank you. Thank you again that we can gather. Thank you for this body, this fellowship, that there is nothing special about this building, these walls. The only thing special is the God who fills it, a God who does not live in a church building, but a God who desires to live in each and every one of us, who goes wherever we go, who's with us day in and day out, who desires to shape us, mold us, and make us into his very image. Thank you that this morning, as we spend this time in your word, that we can trust with confidence that you are going to be about your purpose, reminding us of those things that you desire us to know, that you would press on our hearts those areas in which we must obey and walk in your way. Not a life filled in things done for you, but abiding in you. And I thank you that this morning you've given us your wonderful word that reminds us of these truths. Truths that are not mere intellectual principles, but about a life, a person. That today we don't just worship with religion, but we enjoy a divine relationship with. Thank you. I pray that this morning that you would be glorified in all things as we read your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned, I'm going to be opening to John in chapter 14. And as we begin this morning, we're going to look at a question that Philip asked Jesus. And in doing so, he showed the how often, and you've heard me often repeat these words, how many times the disciples missed it. Everything before them, it seemed so obvious as we read it now, and yet those in it seem to miss it altogether. And that's only a highlight of how often I miss it, right? We've said time and again how often Jesus would say something like, "Beware of the leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees." And it would stir a conversation of, "Who brought the bread? Did you bring the bread? I didn't bring the bread. Where's the sandwiches? I forgot the lunch." And Jesus must have only put his hand on his face and said, "I'm talking about sin, guys. I'm talking about the sin of the Pharisees." Likewise, when Lazarus had died and Jesus said, "Your brother has fallen asleep." And they all said, "Great, surely he'll wake." And Jesus had to look at them and again say, "He's dead, guys. He's dead. I'm glad for your sakes." Why? Because he was preparing to show them something that they needed to see. And however sad it was, and it tells us that Jesus wept, he was willing to go to that hard place to show them something about himself. And it was after raising Lazarus that he would say, "I am the resurrection life." Now, as Philip comes to him, it says this in John 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" I'm going to stop there because he brings up a question, and here's the question this morning. I've had to ask myself, what is enough? Philip said, "Jesus, show us the Father, and it's enough. All I want to do is see God. I want to see him. I want to feel him. I want to know about him." And I want to put it before you this morning that simply seeing God isn't enough. And often that's what I settle for. Seeing and feeling. Hoping, wishing. Jesus was prepared to go, not to do just enough, more than enough. And that's what we want to see this morning. Because often, I think I tend to focus on Jesus' ministry of forgiveness. And I don't want you to get me wrong this morning. Every one of us need forgiveness. And yet if we stop there, we miss something. If we simply settle for forgiveness, we stop short. And Jesus, that ministry, he had much ministry that often isn't talked about. That ministry of forgiveness was culminated to a short time in which he went and suffered that death on the cross. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But you know what we often fail to see? That preceding that ministry of forgiveness, 33 years Jesus lived, and in that 33 years, he had an entirely significant ministry, and here's what it was, John 14:9, "Have I been with you so long, and still you do not know, Philip?" What didn't he know? "Whoever has seen me has," what? "Seen the Father." For 33 years, Jesus had a ministry of declaring, showing, and shining the Father's glory wherever he went, whatever he did, and in whatever he said. It puts it this way in John chapter 1. And I remind you that in John 1, John speaks of the light that was coming into the world. And it says this in John 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." You know what's significant there is this, and I've probably shared it before, and I'll share it again. This Word became flesh, took on human form. And it says this word, it dwelt among us. That word dwelt is the word tabernacled in the original language. That means it took on a temporary dwelling place. The glory of God came down and tabernacled in a temporary dwelling place in our midst. And here it is again. It dwelt among us and we saw his glory. That word saw, here's a word for you, theodzomai. Theodzomai, the word where we get our current word for theater from. And isn't that a great picture? The glory of God came down and tabernacled, temporary dwelt among us in the flesh. And we saw, he theatered his glory in front of us. We beheld it. And it goes on to say this. As you keep reading the Gospel of John, it says this in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 18. "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who's in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." Let me read it to you from the Amplified Version. Again, a version that takes the original language and fills it with words that can't be used in one word in our modern English. Listen to John 1, verse 18 in the Amplified Translation. "No man has ever seen God at any time. The only unique Son, or the only begotten God who is in the bosom, in the intimate presence of the Father, he has declared him, he has revealed him, and brought him out where he can be seen. He has interpreted him, and he has made him known." Isn't that great? You see, for 33 years, as Jesus was preparing to forgive yours and my sins, not just past tense, but future tense. He had a ministry for those 33 years, declaring the very presence of God, making the unseen seen, making what people thought unknown known in all things. And as he would go, that 33 years, and as one good friend often put it, he put it this way, Jesus chose to live a life that God intended man to live, clothed in the sinless humanity fashioned for him in Mary's womb. Isn't that a great picture? He chose to live the life God had always intended. Genesis chapter 1, God made man and woman in the garden, and when he made them in his image. From the beginning of time, humanity was there to declare God's glory. And yet that glory was tarnished by sin. And here Jesus would come, and for 33 years, he would live as man was supposed to live from the very beginning, in the image of God, theodzomai, theatering his glory wherever they went. But as we read on, there's a great question, and that is, okay, we read that Jesus lived. He declared the glory. He shone the light of a loving Father. How did he do it? How do you get there? If that's how God intended man to live from the beginning, and man messed it up, it's easy to say the Son of God can do it. How do we do it? John chapter 14 and verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. You see, as Jesus began to share, not only did he have the Father in him and he was in the Father, if you want to know how he lived this life we long to live, here's the key. The Father who dwells in me, what? Does his works. That was it. If you go back and read the Gospel of John, time and again you'll read these words. That which I say, I do not speak on my own authority. My words are not my own. My direction is not my own. The places I go are not my own. I go where the Father tells me and sends me. I say what the Father gives me. I do how the Father directs me. The Father who dwells in me does his work. This morning, we have to ask that question, what is enough? For Philip in that moment, seeing the Father was enough. And I put it to you this morning that simply seeing may be settling for something less. Jesus didn't stop at simply showing. Nor declaring. And I'll say this morning, Jesus didn't stop at simply forgiving. In fact, I'll be bold enough to say, dare I, Jesus was preparing for a greater ministry, far greater even than simply forgiving your sins that you and I so desperately need. There was something more. And again, as a friend once put it, and I can't put it better, if Jesus was to have lived this sinless life on earth, declare God's glorious wonder, then die, forgive you your sins, and go back to heaven, it would leave us in a pretty precarious place. He said it this way, if he died and simply went back to heaven, it would leave you wonderfully fit for heaven, but horribly inadequate for earth. You see, the knowledge of God's forgiveness doesn't do anything for you. it might stir in you some kind of emotion. It might stir in you something that perhaps today, a feeling of indebtedness to God. It might stir in you a holy ambition to be different, a sense of loyalty to this forgiving God. But the knowledge that Jesus can forgive your sins actually does nothing for you and I today to change the way you live, nor give you any more ability not to keep sinning. Does it? Lots of emotion, indebtedness. I feel it all the time. God, you died for me. I love it. It's amazing. Now I'm going to pay you back. And to be honest, I don't have a lot to give. I don't. But you see, Jesus knew something. He knew that forgiveness was step one. It was through that death that God justified you and I. What does that mean? He looks at you and I just as though you've never done it. How? Because he looks at his son like he committed all our sins. It puts it this way in 2 Corinthians, as Paul writes, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Peter writes this way, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. Through that act, God justified us, brought us into right relationship, and yet didn't stop there. I want you to continue with me in John chapter 14. Because it says this in verse 12. Truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. How amazing is that? You're not only going to see the works of God that I do, you're going to do likewise and greater. How? I'm going to the Father. Verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ask me anything, and I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because neither it sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you, and I will be in you. Do you know what Jesus was preparing? Jesus was preparing a way not just to pay a price, not just to forgive a debt, but to put his very presence in you and I. You see, no life can live that sinless life except one life, and that's Jesus. And without Jesus, there is no hope except one. If that Jesus can live in you and I, take the reins and begin to make, move, and shape you into his very likeness. Jesus was preparing, and for those who've been in the church, we hear the word Pentecost. And in that Pentecost, it was a time in which they were waiting. And Jesus put it this way in Luke 24, listen, I am going, but behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. You are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. What was the power? Jesus was preparing to go to the Father so that he might not be in one physical place at one physical time, but that his very presence might be poured out in you and I. That the apostles, now reconciled to God. And here's a life verse. Romans 5 and verse 10. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, through the death of his son, how much more having been reconciled, now that you've been brought into right relationship by his death, how much more will we be saved by his life? Here's the good news today. Jesus didn't just come to declare God's glory, to show you a life he could live, but no one else, to frustrate you, to see the high bar of holy living, only to never make it there. He didn't come only to forgive us our debt, our sin, and forgive us our failures. No, there was far more, and if we settle there, we've settled for something not enough. He came so that he might give us that holy life that only he can live. He came that he might make life dwell. John 14, verse 18, he continues and says this, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Why? Because I live, you also will live. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Today, settling for anything less than the life of the Lord Jesus is settling for less. Jesus said, show me the Father, and it is enough. Jesus declares, not enough. Here's enough to forgive, to declare, and to place in you a life that cannot be lived any other way by any other means. I'm going to do for you that which you can't, never leave you nor forsake you. What did we just read? Not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you, I will be with you, I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. But the scripture is clear, to receive that life, the life we long for, there's a decision to be made. And that is this: not to attend more church services, pray harder, pray more, sing more, memorize more Christian poems, try to be more, pull up your bootstraps and be better for God. Here's the invitation: to die more. Because you'll never know that life, his life, if your life keeps getting in the way. You'll never know what it means to live the holy life when your feet are firmly attached and gripping to this life. As Jesus once said, he who tries to take his life will lose it, but he who lets go, he will live. And that brings us to this beautiful picture that we're going to celebrate today, of a funeral, of one giving up their life for one better, letting go of the reins. In Romans chapter 6, it says this: do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. He died once for all, but the life he lives to God. So consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's the picture we're going to put forward this morning. A ceremony, what's the substance? A step of obedience that in humility, God often asks us to do strange and humbling things like take a bath as a grown adult in front of many other grown adults. And we humble ourselves today as an outward declaration of something going on inward in the heart. To say, today, I am choosing to put the old man to death, or in this case, the old woman, that I might now walk in the newness of Jesus' life. And they've not allowed me to baptize anyone in this church because of my previous threats to hold people under until they go to heaven. Because in many ways, I do feel like it would save a lot of problems if we just held you under until you went to heaven and you wouldn't have to worry about all this living stuff. It's messy. But the truth is, from the beginning of time, God didn't create man and woman to be in heaven. That will be one day with him face to face. And we will be like him. But God created man on earth to bear his image. And so we go under, dying to self, but are raised in the likeness of his life. Because today we are highlighting a new purpose in our life. That just as Jesus lived for 33 years, by the work of the Father, theodzomai, we're here to theater his glory in whatever season, wherever he takes us, wherever we go, when the Father has the reins, his glory is seen. If you do not believe me, what did Jesus say? Believe the works themselves. Because when you see God's activity, there's no explanation other than God himself. When you see the life transformed, it's because of the impossibility of a God who made it possible by coming and declaring and making that life possible by living in you and I, if only we'd allow him. I'm going to pause and I'm going to pray. And what we're going to do is take a, Marianne and I are going to take a step out and prepare ourselves for the baptism. We're going to sing a song while we do that. And then we're going to come back in, we're going to pray, and we're going to partake in this symbol as we declare who God is. And as we move forward in this step, a great question that was often asked is why, as Marianne asked, why was Jesus baptized? Jesus partook in John's baptism. John was baptizing the Jewish people. A baptism that it tells us in the word was a baptism away from dead works. They were going under the water and being raised to say, I'm done with a religious life of deadness that doesn't amount to anything in the living. But when Jesus came, he came to usher in a new baptism that wasn't just about dead works. It was about a complete dying to self to receive this new life that we might truly live life as God intended. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that this morning, once again, we can come, that we can walk in your word and allow you to put your living, active presence on our hearts. That we might allow you to be Lord of our lives. Not just Lord of Sunday mornings. Not just Lord of a moment. But as we abandon all that we are, just as your Son abandoned his life, gave up his throne that he might grant us life, we abandon the old so that we might begin to live in the new. Thank you for these vivid pictures, a symbol, a memorial, that as we celebrate this in Marianne's life, that we can look back and see the day she declared, Lord, I want you. Thank you that each day your mercy is new every morning, and daily we are dying. And daily we have an opportunity to be living, if only we truly allow you to be our life today. And for that we thank you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.